This reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, Igor. And I hope you got that passage open in front of you as we look through it together. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Let me read to you verse 8, which you'll see on the screen there as well. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, as we start this new exciting series in Acts, why don't we pray together for God's help? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to each one of us as we look at this passage together. Even though, Lord, we find ourselves in strange circumstances, even though we find ourselves doing church online, we pray nevertheless that this would be a time in which your kingdom spreads, both in our lives and in the lives of our friends and family. So we pray now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your holy word, that you would help us to understand, that you would be at work in each of our lives, helping us to understand your plans for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder if you've ever wondered if this world is going anywhere, whether you've ever wondered if there's any actual plan. Maybe you've felt that all the more in these last strange days of lockdown. Is my life going anywhere? Well, the book of Acts, which we are looking at today, is incredibly important. Here you are, you're looking out of the window, you're in lockdown, you're thinking, where is life going? Well, can I tell you that the book of Acts is going to be hugely helpful to us? First of all, it is an exciting book. It's an exciting book because it's a story. We all love a good story. And there are some hilarious moments in this book. And I'd encourage you to read it when you get a chance. Like the time when the Church of God are praying for Peter's release. And he's there knocking on the door. And someone opens the door, shuts it back in his face. It's Peter outside and they don't let him in. There's some emotional moments where Paul says goodbye to the Ephesian elders and he knows he's never going to see them again. There's some really exciting moments. There's even a sermon in which someone falls out of the window and dies because Paul has been going on for so long. I promise you I won't do that today. It is exciting. It's an exciting story. It's a wonderful story because it focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what could be more wonderful than focusing on him? But it is a relevant story. Although it's a story 2,000 years old of the story of the early church, it's a very relevant story because actually it's a story that we're a part of and a story that we continue today. And if we're asking those questions that we started with about what is the plan for the world and what is our part in it, then I think we're going to find that today's passage is extremely helpful. So let's launch in at verse 1, and I've called this sermon, Now what? Now what? Because Jesus has, we're going to see him ascending up to heaven to sit at God's right hand. Now what? Or what now? We're going to look at this passage. There's so much in it. I've just picked out three key phrases that we're going to use to get our bearings in this story as we look at God's plan and then our part in the plan for the world. Before we go any further, I wonder if you know who wrote this book. Shout it out. Who knows who wrote this book? Jonathan, do you know who? Luke, well done. Absolutely. If you look at verse 1, it says this: in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach. So Theophilus, we don't know whether that was his real name. It actually means lover of God, Theophilus. It might just be a code name for someone, an early Christian whose name wasn't allowed to be known. Or it may have been someone very important in society, because he's called Most Excellent Theophilus in Luke. But it's the same writer as the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they're the first four books of the New Testament. Acts is the fifth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, this book was written by Luke, and as was the third gospel. And actually, Luke himself scripts himself into the story because he was there when a lot of these things were happening. If you read through to chapter 16, you'll see it changes from them, Paul, Peter, others, to we. Luke himself is in there. So this is eyewitness stuff. So the key word here in verse 1 is the word began. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And by implication, this book is about all that Jesus continues to do. So actually, although there's no other book in the New Testament like the book of Acts, there were four Gospels, but only one book telling the story of the church. You can say that the Gospels are the story of Jesus part one, and Acts is the story of Jesus part two, even though Jesus is no longer with us physically in person. So if Luke is about the beginning of Jesus' work on the world in person, then the book of Acts is Jesus' continued work through his apostles in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that actually takes us right up to the present day, doesn't it? Did you know there's actually a church planting movement called Acts 29? Now, if you look carefully at the book, there's only 28 chapters, but they've called themselves Acts 29 because the story continues. And we're still in the era where Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father, and he's poured out his Holy Spirit to enable his witnesses to take the good news to the ends of the earth. So although we are not witnesses in quite the same way, and we'll see that next week, we are to carry on the baton to spread the good news and take it round the world. Well, in verses 2 to 5, and I won't go into a lot of detail here, we'll look at these in a little bit more detail in our life groups this week, and you can sort of unravel the timeline and see the events that are happening in verses 2 to 5. We're going to go to the key word for this first point, which is the word kingdom. You see it there in verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And there again, in verse 6, then they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, kingdom is a massive theme of the Gospels, and it's a massive theme of the book of Acts. In fact, we've got these two references to it here. It comes again and again in the book. And then in the final verse of the book, Acts chapter 28, verse 31, Paul is proclaiming the kingdom to the ends of the earth, right out there in Rome. So kingdom is a great theme. And of course, when we were looking at Psalm 2 just a couple of weeks ago, we were learning about how God has promised a ruler. We thought about a rebellion. We all rebel against God. God has installed his king. Jesus is the anointed king, and that we are to make the correct response to follow Jesus and to walk in his ways. That's basically the message of the kingdom. There is a king. Jesus is the ruler. God has installed his king. The reality of the universe is that there is a king. How do we know that? Well, because of the events that we read about in this very chapter. In verse 3, we've seen his suffering, Jesus' death on the cross. This reminds us that Jesus shows that he's a king by his death on the cross. He's a king of love. He wore a crown, but it wasn't a crown of gold. It was a crown of thorns as he laid down his life to forgive us our sins and bring us back to God. Just like George mentioned in his interview, the message of Christianity is ultimately one of grace, one of forgiveness. Jesus didn't come to start a religion for good people. He came to perform a rescue for bad people. And if we know that we've mucked up, then we will find Christianity and this kingdom of Jesus very good news. We see it in his suffering. We also see it in his resurrection. Verse 3, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. We're not saying that Jesus is just any old bloke. There are no others that rose from the dead in quite the same way. Yes, Jesus rose a couple of people from the dead, and there are a couple of resurrections in the Bible, but none like Jesus's, with many convincing proofs that he was alive, showing us that he is the king of the kingdom. That was Easter. Now, 40 days after Easter, we get to this story, which is the story of the ascension. Verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven. And we can read about it here in verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Now, I know there've been a few jokers who've tried to be rocket men and all sorts of other people. But there's only one man who has physically been lifted, as it were, out of sight to heaven, as seen by these witnesses in real time, in real history. And all of this points to the fact that Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story that I spotted on BBC News just a couple of weeks ago during the height of lockdown. I know that the message has changed ever so slightly from stay at home to stay alert. And there's been a lot of chat about that. But actually, when the message of stay at home was at its clearest and its most visible on every internet page, on every news item, I saw this story, and I found it both tragic and amusing. Let's get to this. Blackpool barbecue pair fined for lockdown breach. What happened was that a couple of people from Manchester decided in the middle of lockdown, when they were supposed to stay at home, to drive to Blackpool Promenade to have a barbecue on the beach. And the spokesman for Lancashire Fire and Rescue said this: "It's disappointing that a minority of people are continuing to put themselves and other people at risk and waste the time of the emergency services." And then he added this, and I think he must have said this in one of those slightly dry voices that I think would have had a little bit of a smile, a secret smile on his face. "It is also difficult to understand why people would travel to Blackpool and have a barbecue on the promenade late at night in the rain." Do you see, they just completely didn't get the reality. They didn't get the big picture, which was stay at home. And they decided to do their own thing and, as it were, go their own way. The reality, the plan, stay at home. That is the big message. But they flew in the face of it and they decided to do their own thing. Now, I chat to lots of people about Christianity, and I'm sure you do as well. And one of the things that I come across most often is this idea that Christianity is great for you, but I prefer to do something else. So I have a slightly different view of God, or I have a different view of the universe. It's absolutely fine for you, and no disrespect to your religion. I wouldn't dream of disagreeing with your religion, but I believe something else. But you see, what this message of the kingdom is saying, what the death resurrection and ascension of Jesus is showing is that all of the earth must bow to King Jesus. There is no other God, not Allah or Buddha or Krishna or whoever it is. Jesus is the King. His is the kingdom. This is the reality that we all need to live in the light of. And whenever someone becomes a Christian, what they're doing is they're saying, I now see the plan. I now see God's plan for the world, that everyone from every distant shore, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, must bow down before King Jesus. And every time a Christian decides that because of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to bite their tongue and not say that sharp and cutting thing in their home, every time they remain faithful to their spouse for Jesus' sake, every time a young Christian child fights selfishness in lockdown and is kind to their brother or sister, they are acting in line with the reality of the universe, which is that all of the earth must bow down to King Jesus. That's God's plan. That is the reality. If we're a bit confused in lockdown, we're going slightly crazy, stir crazy, and we forgot what the whole world is, where it's heading. It's heading to this, that all the earth must bow down to King Jesus. But here's the big thing. What about us? What's our part in all of that? Well, of course, the first part is to bow the knee to Jesus ourselves. But once we've done that, what is our part in bringing this about? And this is the fantastic thing and the fascinating thing, that God didn't decide to leave the conveying of the message, to spread the message about Jesus as King. He didn't leave it to Jesus because he's now ascended up to heaven. He didn't even give it to the angels. He's given it to you and to me to tell the world the reality about God's plan. It's up to us to spread the word. And we see this here in verse 8. Let's look from verse 6. They gathered round him and they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I love what John Calvin, the great reformer, said about this verse. He says there are as many mistakes in that question as there are words. And we'll have a bit of a think about those in our life groups this week. Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If to get our handle on God's plan, we needed to think about that word kingdom, to get our hands on or get our brains on this, on our part, we need to think about this word witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you and you will be my witnesses. A witness, of course, is someone who sees something happen and passes on the message of what happened to someone else. We get witnesses in court. We'll see actually next week, as we look at the story of Matthias replacing Judas, that we're not quite witnesses in exactly the same way that the apostles were. And so we need to be a little bit careful about who the Bible is talking to when it talks about witnesses. First of all, the first generation of witnesses was the apostles. And we'll see that in the book of Acts. But they pass on the baton of the message down the track, all the way down to us. And here we are in Huntingdon, many of us. Okay, I know some of the family are watching from South Africa, China and the Czech Republic. Lovely to have you with us. But most of us are here on the ground in Huntingdon, St. Ives, Godmanchester. And the message, the baton is being passed on to us to pass to others. You see, this is our part, to share the news. If the big reality is that Jesus Christ is Lord, that all of the earth must bow to King Jesus, then our part is to spread that message and share that good news with the world. Now, do you see that it happens in a kind of programmatic way in verse 8? We're going to do a little bit of interaction here. We're going to see if this works. People liked it when I held up my little blue card, so I'm going to hold up my school atlas now. Here we go. I've got no idea, Jonathan, if this is all nicely in the screen. But if I point to Jerusalem down here,
Okay, here's Jerusalem.
You look at your Bible, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where this book starts. We're in Jerusalem. We're in the Middle East. And then, like ripples going out across the pond. By the way, do you like our artwork on the screen today? We've taken the theme of ripples going out across a pond because that's what's happening in the book of Acts. This message is spreading across the world. It starts in Jerusalem. Stage one. That's basically the first six or seven chapters of the book of Acts. We're only going to go as far as that in our study this term. But then, stage two, look at the verse. It goes to Judea and Samaria, right? Back to the atlas. We are right. There's Jerusalem. This is just tiny bubbles around Jerusalem. Judea is the area right next to Jerusalem. And Samaria, where the Samaritans came from, you might remember the Good Samaritan, is just the area to the north of Judea, that next part. Not quite as north as Galilee, where Jesus was carrying out his ministry. But it's to go not just from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria, but to the whole world. And we're going to see the gospel spreading. It gets as far as Rome by the time this book ends, which was kind of the capital of the known world at that time. But here's England. This is where we are. Woohoo! This is where the gospel has reached, thanks to the missionaries that brought it to us in the early centuries. Do you see what's happening here? God has got a plan for all the earth to bow to King Jesus. But how do people know about that? How can anyone know that they need to submit to King Jesus, that he is the ruler of the planet, that the world belongs to him? Well, the answer is that the witnesses are to pass on the message, and it's to spread like wildfire across Europe and across the world. And as the gospel comes to us, we too are to share the good news with others. You see, it's not rocket science. If the reality of the universe is that Jesus Christ is Lord, all the earth should bow to King Jesus, then our part to play is to share that good news with others. And on a Thursday night, when you clap the NHS next to your neighbours, why not pray that you'll get to know them really well and that it might be the opportunity for you to share the good news with them? Now, if that terrifies you and you think, there's no way I could do that, well, here's where the good news of the next bit comes in. We're not to do it in our own strength. Just let that pass. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the help that God gives. And the Holy Spirit is a massive theme in the book of Acts. And we'll see the arrival of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 in a couple of weeks. But he's mentioned in verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. He's mentioned in verse 5, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Rico Tice, who is an evangelist, so it's his full-time job to share the good news and train others to share the good news of Jesus. He talks about the pain barrier. He says there comes a point where you kind of have to stick your head above the parapet. We have to push past the pain barrier when you're chatting to your friends and your neighbours, and you have to just be a little bit bold and say something like, well, do you believe in God or are you an atheist? Even a little easy question like that takes a bit of pain, doesn't it? But he says it's at that point that we remember, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to embolden me and enable me to say those words. And that's what we see as Jesus goes up to heaven, as we see here, and to sit at the right hand of the Father. His work is now complete on earth. He sends his Holy Spirit to give power to his people to know Jesus, to live for Jesus, and ultimately to speak for Jesus. And we all have a different role to play in that. And some of us are good at doing different things, and we've all been wired differently, but we can all gossip the gospel and make known this reality to our friends of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to see in the coming chapters of the book an explosion happen, an explosion of power that takes scared bunny rabbits from behind closed doors out to the ends of the earth, sharing the reality that Jesus is the King. Jesus rises up to heaven, a cloud hides him from sight, and then there's this hilarious ending to our passage. They were looking intently up at the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white, angels, I assume, stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Don't just stand there. Get on with it. You've got a job to do." And maybe you're a mum and you're at home and you're going slightly mental with your young kids around you, and it's hectic, and you're slightly losing the plot. Well, remember what God's plan is and what our part is in the power of the Holy Spirit to share the good news of the risen Lord Jesus. And maybe you're a granddad or a grandma and you're having to self-isolate, and at times it's pretty tough, and basically you're just focused on getting your garden looking amazing at the moment. Well, remember, it's not just about your garden. It's about a bigger picture. The plan for God's world, to get everyone bowing the knee to Jesus. How can you, even just using the old-fashioned telephone, spread the message, get in touch with old friends and share the good news? Maybe there's a bored teenager and you're becoming a complete world expert on Minecraft or something like that. Well, don't forget what lockdown is all about. It's about Jesus Christ. He's God's King, and you've got a part to play. How can you share this message? How can you be a witness? One of the things that we're going to be doing in a couple of weeks' time is having a quiz night. And we're going to be just getting our friends together for an evening on Zoom. It's going to be fun. We're going to just have a laugh. And between the two halves, George, who you've met already today, is just going to say a few words about how our church works and who we are, and how people can join this live stream. You might even step over that stepping stone and go straight to the live stream and just say to your friends, why don't you tune in as we look at the really exciting story of the beginning of the church and how Jesus changed lives and enabled them to walk around the Mediterranean with a message that turned the world upside down. God's plan, our part. Let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this exciting new story that we're looking at today. And we thank you that, in fact, it touches on the reality of your plan for the whole world, which is to have people of every nation bow the knee before the wonderful King Jesus so that they might become his friends and might worship him for eternity. Please, Lord, help us not to stick our head in the sand, but help us to play our part, even during these complicated and difficult circumstances. Help us to share the good news of the reality of Jesus. Lord, we can't do this on our own. We need your Holy Spirit's help. We pray that you would embolden and empower us, even this coming week, at very specific moments, to share your good news with our friends, our family, and our neighbours. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.